It's good to see you, to be with you tonight. I've been looking forward to tonight this week and knowing that the direction that we were going to be going. The Lord's had some thoughts percolating inside me getting ready for tonight, and I'm glad that you're here. Last week we talked about how God is the builder in our lives. And I don't have any props tonight. I don't have tables or anything to keep the kids occupied, but we learn that God is indeed building us into His temple, and the blueprint that He is using is His pleasure. That's what He's following. That's the design that He's following. It's called His good pleasure, which is to reconcile all things to Himself, and that's the job He's doing. We also talked about how God is building your life. That yes, He has an overall plan for mankind, but He has a specific plan for you. Something for you to do and things for you to do that He designed before the creation of the world. And His plan for you is as unique as you are. And we talked about how to discover that plan last week. And we closed by saying that we are co-laborers with God. We have been called to work with Him together. And we close in 1 Corinthians 3, which is where I want to pick up tonight. If you'll go to 1 Corinthians 3, we're going to pick up with the same verses that we closed with last Wednesday night, where we read that God is indeed building and working, and He has laid a foundation. So look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 9. Paul writes, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it." Tonight I want to continue talking to you about God the builder, but I want to put the focus on God's building blocks. The things that He uses in our lives to form us and shape us into what it is He's called us to be. And I want us to look at how He guides our lives and using these things that we can actually build with Him on top of this foundation that's been laid. Now, an initial question, if you ask what kind of building blocks does God use, what are the building blocks, what are God's building blocks in our lives, and what does God use in our life? The easiest answer is to go to Romans 8:28. Don't go there because you can quote it. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. So I could just simply say that God uses all things as building blocks in our lives. And that's true, but that answer is much too broad for what I want to talk to you about tonight. I want to share with you some specific things that God does and uses in our lives, and then end up with some warnings about how we build. So would you pray with me? Father, thank You for leading us tonight in our worship. The exuberance and the celebration that we have towards You, we thank You for You placing that joy in our hearts. Lord, as we have worshiped You and prepared our hearts for Your Word, we now ask that You would open our hearts up to receive Your Word. Plant it deeply in our lives. Grow great fruit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 10, I'm going to talk to you for a couple minutes first about the foundation. Because Paul said that a foundation has been laid in your life and my life. 1 Corinthians 3:10, he says, "According to the grace of God, which was given to me like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it, but each man must be careful how he builds on it." I want to focus on this phrase that he had laid a foundation. In verse number 11, he identifies that foundation by saying, "No man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." In every building, there has to be a foundation, or it will not stand. Doesn't matter how beautiful the walls, how stout the lumber, how attractive the roof. If there's not a foundation that ties it all together, the big bad wolf can come along and huff and puff. Actually, he could probably just sneeze, and it'll come tumbling down. There's got to be a foundation. And Paul says that the foundation is Jesus himself. And Jesus taught this back in Luke chapter number 6. You're familiar with the passage in Matthew, but I want you to see it in Luke of how Jesus described this foundational process in our life. In Luke chapter number 6, and this need for foundation, in Luke 6 verse 46, Jesus said it this way. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation. And the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed. And the ruin of that house was great." Now, we're familiar with listening to that at the end of the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus says, "Everyone who hears my words and does them." But here he's saying, why is it that you'll say, "Lord, you're quick to call me master, you're quick, but you don't do the things that I say"? And so, you know, we've got to make sure that if our foundation is really firm, it is firm because we are doing what he says. Jesus said in verse 47, "Everyone who comes to me hears my words and does them, acts on them." What you do with what you learn determines the outcome of your life. What you do with what you learn determines the outcome of your life. And so if you have begun this walk and said, "Lord, Lord," but you haven't progressed beyond that with doing what he says, then you need to go back and reexamine the foundation. This is critical. This is core stuff that needs to be taken care of. Now, there is a lot of work that's involved in putting in a foundation. It just so happens that I have seen a few foundations put in my time. I actually got to dig some of the footings in this building that we're standing in right here. Some of you did as well. Some of you have left many pools of sweat. Some of you even left some blood here. But digging these footings wasn't a bit fun, was it? Nowadays, they have these big old fancy machines, these little mini excavators that they bring out there, and it just, it's all over with. But they didn't have them back then. They didn't have them 20 years ago when we built this building. We started this foundation, and we ran these footers all through here and dug them deep and dug them wide, getting ready for that foundation. And so the foundation is very, very important. There are three important building blocks that to me are foundational. Now, I know that Jesus himself is the foundation, but I think there are three more things that I want to add to that foundational process before I get to talking about the building blocks on top of. If you'll allow me to, look at Jude chapter 1, and this kind of comes back to what we're saying about calling him Lord, Lord, but it is the beginning foundational block. Second to last book in the Bible. Go to the last chapter. Tell you what, you go to the first chapter, I'll go to the last chapter, and let's see where we end up. Verse number 20, he says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most" what? "Holy faith." Building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. The thing that I want you to see is that faith is this incredibly important part of this foundational process in our lives. Building yourself up on your faith. Faith's part of the foundation. He said we're building on top of it. The writer of Hebrews said that faith was so important that without faith it was impossible to please God. Because he who comes to God must, number one, believe that he is, that he exists. And number two, that he will answer your prayers, that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I've just finished the book of Hebrews in my devotionals. And you know how sometimes when you're reading through a book, something can become more open and more alive? Maybe because you're reading it concurrently, you're starting to see, instead of just individual verses that you used to cherry pick out, you're beginning to see the whole salad. the whole orchard. And I begin to see how he waves. When every place he's referring to of faith in the book of Hebrews, he's referring to salvational, eternal faith. The faith that would compel people to go through the difficult things that they went through. The faith that the faith in someone, in God himself. And this is a foundational issue for you and me. Obviously, if it's not possible to please God without faith, then it needs to be in your foundation. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, and I'm just going to reference some scriptures here instead of taking you to them, because I have a bunch of scriptures tonight, but is this issue of love. Ephesians 4:16 says that the whole body, this whole building, actually, is fitted together, and I'm going to talk about that more in just a little bit, and it's held together by what each member supplies, and that all of those parts working together in love brings about the building process. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says that love builds. Did you know that? You probably heard it said love edifies, but the word edifies and the word builds in Greek are the identical word. They just, in some places, put edifies because it seems maybe we think of that as being a little bit more holy. But the word edify and the word build is the same thing. In fact, in Spanish, Sister Nora can testify, Brother John can testify, Sister Lori can testify. An edificio, edificio, what does that sound like? Edify, right? Edificio is a building. And the way you build things is you edificar, you edify it. So it was kind of shocking to me to learn that we had to edify buildings down there. Actually, we had to edify edifications. We would rent an edification if we wanted to have services. We're meeting in the edification that's downtown. Because edification is about building. And love builds. Love builds in your life. Love builds in my life. And so love is an integral part of this foundational process of our life. And you know this, but I'm just kind of reminding you of that. The third thing, and guys, you've got to hang on to this one. Acts chapter number 20. This is a critical, critical component of your foundation in Jesus Christ. And the foundation of the building that God is building in your life. Acts chapter number 20, Paul is saying goodbye to the leaders of Ephesus, and he's headed back to Jerusalem, and this is the last time he'll ever see them. If you knew the last time, and if you knew that you were going to see someone for the very last time, you would make sure that the things you said were important, wouldn't you? And Paul did. And listen in verse 32 what he says, and now, Acts 20:32, and now I commend you to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Guys, this is of vital importance. Vital importance. The word of God's grace, the message of his grace, is so critical and so crucial that if we let go or forget or turn a deaf ear to that continual word of God's grace in our life, our hearts will grow hard, the fears will overtake us again, and we will turn our backs and go a different direction. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. There's plenty of things in your life, and there's plenty of things in my life that we don't want brought up. Amen? There's a lot of stuff in my life I don't want you to know. And if I don't have the word of God's grace as an integral part of my life, here is what's going to happen. The enemy is going to come along and is going to say to me, Nathan, you remember on such and such a day when you did such and such a thing? You know, you really crossed the line there. You really crossed the line. You had asked God, and God has forgiven you lots of stuff, but that's the one, buddy. You busted it. You blew it. You stepped outside of God's grace. Well, you know, God may have forgiven you, but, man, there's a big hammer coming for that one. You hear me? You ever heard those words? Oh, yeah, God's going to forgive you. Yeah, you might squeak into heaven, but there's a hammer coming. Look for the day. You just better walk around with your eyes wide open. And you better get some eyes in the back of your head because that hammer's coming, that pendulum's swinging. And you're going to get busted. Now, the Word of God, grace, says, what sin? I'm sorry, what are you talking about? Let me go back to my calendar on that day. I don't have anything written down for that day. You know, I must have forgotten. Maybe we can go scuba diving in the sea of forgetfulness. Well, you can. I'd rather play on the beach of God's grace. Because the enemy is going to come along and he's going to say, look at all this junk. Look at all this stuff. Look at all this, these reasons that you have in your life for God to not forgive you or to punish you or do mean things to you. And you know what? You got it coming. But the Word of God's grace is, what sin? What sin? I've told you this before. This will probably be one of my, you know, we kind of joke about Brother Buddy's stories and how we have them numbered. Because he's pastored for 30 years here and ministered for many years before that. So he's got some incredible stories. This is going to be one of my numbered stories. You, if you want to, go ahead and put number 17 on this one. Because I like the number 17. It's an interesting number. It's a prime number. I like prime numbers. Number 17 in the movie, The Chronicles of Narnia. When Edmund is restored to his family after having betrayed them and turned his back on them and really caused lots of problems. He is rescued and he speaks to Aslan. We don't know what is said. Aslan, who represents Jesus, walks over to the other children. It shall not be spoken of again. Tells him. It's not going to be talked about anymore. And I think you and I need that in our lives. We need to be reminded that God's not bringing it up. That God's not the one stirring it up. Now see, in the end of the New Testament, there's a couple of little books that sometimes get overlooked, but they're full of such truth. And one of the truths contained therein says that perfect love casts out fear. And he who fears is not yet perfected in that love, because fear involves punishment. The one who fears is afraid of being punished. And so he hasn't yet gotten perfected in that incredible love that has the Word of God's grace, which is able to build you up. Right here, Acts 20, verse 32. I commend you to God and the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up. And we need God's grace. I'm not upset with Calvin Kahn for naming that his church, but that's a good name. Word of grace. Word of grace. Word of God's grace. We need that word. That's got to be foundational in our lives. Stop reminding God. He's tired of telling you he can't remember. And I know you've heard Carmen or whoever it was came up with that old line, when the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of His future. Amen. So guys, hang on to God's grace. This is foundational and it will build you up. It will build you up. Now let's talk about some of God's building blocks. This is kind of the key part of the message tonight. And there are so many that God uses. And last week I mentioned some just in passing. But tonight I want to talk to you about two key building blocks. And then we'll talk kind of in passing about some others. But the first one, and one of the most important building blocks in your life, you may be surprised at this, but it is actually the people that God puts in your life. They actually become the building blocks that God uses in your life to build you to become who it is you're supposed to be. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, I want you to see that this building process is something that you're a part of and that they're a part of. And specifically, I'm speaking in that context of that local fellowship, that local body of believers, that local community. And I'm going to use this word community a lot. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, therefore, encourage one another and what? Edify, build up one another just as you also are doing. See, Paul says you need to be a building block in somebody else's life. Not a stumbling block, but a building block. And that our call is to help one another. Now go over to Romans 14, and let me tell you a little bit of a story before we read. In the book of Romans, one of the issues that Paul has to deal with is some areas of personal conviction. And some believers have strong convictions about certain things, and other believers don't have those strong convictions about it. They feel like they have a little bit more grace, and then they haven't seen it clearly in black and white. And so he's dealing with some of these gray issues and how we're to treat these gray issues with one another. And he also is explaining how our lives interact and how our lives intersect and how they're intertwined with one another and the mutual responsibility we have for building each other up. So look at chapter 14, verse number 19. He's concluding one of the discussions about food, and he says, "So then, we pursue the things which make for peace." And what? The what? Building up of one another. This is what our lives are to be about in this local fellowship, in this body of believers. We're to be about building one another up. If you flip over to chapter 15, just the first couple of verses, we're just a few verses beyond where we read. Verse 1, "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his building up." It's the word. It's the same. That word in verse 2 is the exact same word that's used in verse 19, except in verse 19, it's a verb, and in verse 2 of 15, it's a noun. But it's the same word in the Greek. You see, we are called to build one another up. This is the blocks that God uses in our life that we help and shape and we push and we encourage and we build each other's lives. It's an interesting verse. Now, this is just a small example, but in Hebrews 13, as I finished out my studies, this was my gem for today. In Hebrews 13, I want you to see the issue of connectedness. The issue of community. In Hebrews 13, verse 3, "Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated." And look at this next phrase. "Since you yourselves also are in the body." You see, he's reminding them of something that, I'm not sure who the writer of Hebrews is, but he's reminding them of something that Paul said often. You're all part of one body. And you're part of one another. And you're connected to each other. And so you need to remember those because you're part of that body. And you have a responsibility to each other. A responsibility to help each other and to lift up each other. And we're a part of a community and part of a connectedness. Verse 16, he just says, "Do not neglect doing good and sharing." That word sharing has to do with community. Community, encouraging and being a part of each other's lives. I am convinced that the body of Christ, especially on that local level, is so vital and so critical in the area of connectedness and being community. That's where our greatest need and the thing that's so easy to meet in one of those lives. There's a lot of scriptures that make this point. In Ephesians 2, he talks about us being fitted together. It's almost saying that we are blocks that are each one carved like a jigsaw puzzle, and God has each one of them that fits together like this. And God places you in the body as He desires. He puts you where you're supposed to be and He fits you. He doesn't, you know, you're not like a can of jumping jacks just thrown out there. You're not like some random bouncing around ball that has no meaning or purpose. You are built to connect. You are made to connect. It's part of how God built you and how God connected you. Just the very fact, I mean, God said it's not good for man to be alone. We know that's a husband and wife issue, but it's not good for a Christian man or a Christian woman to be without that connectedness, that fitting together that He has called us into. We need each other. We support each other. We match each other. Ephesians 4:16 says that each one supplies something important. And as they supply that, it becomes the glue that holds us all together. Isn't that an interesting idea? He said that each one has something to supply. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul ends the whole debate over tongues by saying, what's the sum of it all? Every one of you bring something. When it comes time to fellowship together, you need to bring a word, a prophecy, a tongue, an edification, a song. You need to have something that can bless somebody else's life. It could be a whisper in somebody's ear, but you've got something to give. You've got something to offer, and you are valuable in this connected body of Christ. This is God's building block in our life. Would you look at Ephesians chapter 4 just real quickly? It talks about our need to build each other up with our words. Oh, Jesus. Easiest and hard. Why is it the easiest things are the hardest things to do? Ephesians 4:29. Let no rotten, dirty, filthy, yucky, poopy, foul, unclean, unhealthy, smelly, stinky, boogery, judgmental, gossipy, cranky. You keep filling in the blanks. Let no unwholesome word. You know what the rest of it says. Hold on just a second. You know in the Greek, it uses two words to say this let no, which makes sense. Sometimes it uses more, sometimes less. But in this specific case, it has two words, and it means to never, ever, ever allow even a single one. It uses these superlatives. In the Greek, he's using this superlative. It's like it's like the EST. You know, you have great, greater, greatest. That's a superlative. That's a big word. He's using the biggest emphasis he can. Don't ever let even a single one of these come out of your mouth. But what? What kind of words? Only such a word as is good for building up. A building. Words that construct. I heard this morning one of the pastors said, you know, have you ever thought about the fact that constructive criticism usually isn't very constructive and it usually criticizes pretty bad? I just have some constructive criticism. Oh, please don't. No, there's a place. But here it says that every word should have some building property to it. And if it doesn't build, then swallow it. If it's not a helpful word, if it's not a word that adds to, if it's not a word that contributes to the wholeness of their life, then just only that which such is good for building up, for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that you have grace, so that we'll give grace to those who hear. So look. The first building block that God has given you is one another. The interconnectednesses that you have, the community that you develop here, but in your little friendships that you have, those people that God puts in your life that are special to you, those connections that He makes, those are the building blocks that God uses in your life. And He'll use different ones at different times. You understand that. But you understand also that you are a building block in somebody else's life. And that's critical to remember. Now, the second one I want to talk about, and I really need to talk fast, is, and it may surprise you, but over and over and over in Scripture, and we don't talk about this a whole lot, but over and over in Scripture, you'll find that God has given leaders and pastors and shepherds as a gift to you. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not here standing here saying, I'm God's gift to you. It's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that God has brought leadership into our lives as a gifting. And it's for the purpose of building. Look at Ephesians. We're in Ephesians 4, aren't we? Look at verse 11. It'd be helpful if I'd be in chapter 4. Verse 11, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the what? To the building up. God's building blocks. The building up of the body of Christ. And so God has given leadership giftings to certain ones. Never, ever, ever are they to lord it over anybody. Ever. I had asked a pastor question that came in recently, and he asked the question about some pastor and somebody who was had the title of bishop and how they were very rude to a parking lot attendant and demanded to be retrieved, you know, have their car parked in a special place and get special service. And he and this guy was pretty much turned off on Christianity and wanted to know, you know, since I'm a pastor, what did I think about that? And I wrote him back and I said, no. The scripture, I gave him the scriptures where Jesus said, don't lord it over each other and don't have that kind of attitude. If you want to be a leader, serve. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, you need to understand this leading from service perspective. And I share that. He wrote me back. He said, thank you. Thank you for telling me that. I don't get to see that often enough. Don't know what this man's going to do with his life, but God used me as a building block. You see, God gives leadership giftings to people in the body of Christ. And you might say, well, you know, we don't need that anymore. Well, if you read on, it says in verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. Now, have we all attained to the unity of the faith? Okay, because if we have, then, you know, you don't need pastors and teachers and prophets and evangelists and apostles anymore. But these leadership giftings that God has given are, I believe, until He returns. And they're building blocks. And I think it's best if I don't read all of them. 2 Corinthians, I had three verses in 2 Corinthians. You can write this down for your reference. In 2 Corinthians 10:8, in 2 Corinthians 12:19, and 2 Corinthians 13:10, all three places, Paul specifically said that God gave me the authority to build. God gave us the authority to build. To build. That's the authority that God gave him as an apostle. And right here we see God gave it pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets. These who pronounce God's word have that authority to build. Not to lord over, to build up. You see that? Not to tear down. The verse that is not talked about very often but came up this morning in our minister's meeting is Hebrews 13, verse 7. No, it's not. It's Hebrews 13, verse 17. And it says, obey your leaders. I guess we just cut that one out. You know, I talked about my chapel service this morning to the elementary school at Grace, all the elementary kids. I read them in Galatians 6:1. Children, obey your parents. That was my chapel service this morning. I wasn't quite as enthusiastic as most of them. No, I'm kidding. They were all right. We don't like those words, but there's a purpose in that. There's a meaning in that. And again, if you understand that the guy's not up here with a whip or he's not up here lording it over you, and it's easier to follow the instruction when you understand the heart. And I have another verse to show you that. But he says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls. They keep watch. They report to God, it says, as those who are given account. Let them do this with joy, not with grief. So listen, every leader, godly leader, that has been placed in your life, has been given to you by God as a building block to help, whether it's with a teaching, whether it's with an encouraging word, an insightful ministry, a word of whatever it is that He has done, it's a building block in your life. And you can thank God for that. Now, if you go back to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to kind of come to a tell you what, let me just quote it to you, tell it to you. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 through 15, he talks about the building materials. There's lots of building materials. He says there's gold, there's silver, there's precious stones, there's wood, there's hay, there's straw. And he says everyone's got to be careful. You're given the opportunity to build with lots of stuff in your life. You need to be careful what you build with. Obviously, we can understand that gold and silver and precious stones are valuable, but he goes on to say that they'll stand the test of fire. Wood, hay, and straw doesn't do very good in fire. And so he makes these interesting things where he says, be careful what you build with. I just gave you two broad general building blocks tonight, the believers in your life and the leadership that God has placed there. But there's so many other things. And you might say, but wait a minute, Nathan. Didn't you say at the beginning of this ministry that God can use, that everything in our life is a building block? I did say that. I said, God can use, Romans 8:28, God can use all things. But that's a very interesting verse in 1 Corinthians 10, where Paul says, you know what? All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. And then he said this, listen, all things are lawful, but everything doesn't edify. You hear me? Not everything builds you up. Just because God can use all things doesn't mean that in and of itself it's a good thing. Sometimes they do have consequences. Sometimes they do have. And look, there's something. Yes, God can work all things together, but there's some things you don't want Him to have to use. Okay? So understand these building blocks and make good choices. Now let me give you three be carefuls as we wrap this up. In faith, if you'll just throw these verses up real fast for me, Matthew 21:42. First, be careful. Be careful what you reject in this building process. Be careful what you reject. Matthew 21:42 says, Jesus said to them, did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Be careful what you reject. You see, there may be some things in your life that are building blocks, and you go, oh, I don't want that. It's not pretty. It's not pleasant. It doesn't look good. I think I just not have that. That's what they did. They rejected Jesus. Be careful what you reject. Even just because it doesn't look suitable or pleasant to you, doesn't mean God won't use it to have a great impact in your life. Number two, Matthew 23:29. Be careful what you build. Remember what it is you're building. Be careful what you build. Matthew 23:29, Jesus says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous. And he goes on to talk about, yet they reject the teaching of the one that they spoke of. Their fathers even killed them. But look, he says, you build tombs. Folks, we're supposed to be building a life, building a temple, building this thing for the Lord. Some people are building things that look pretty on the outside, but they're full of dead men's bones. Be careful what you build. Just because it's pretty doesn't mean it has life. What is your energy going into? What is your focus? What are you building? And then Mark 15:29. These three be carefuls, the Lord really spoke to me this afternoon for us. Number one, be careful what you reject. Be careful what you build. And be careful what you laugh at. In Mark 15:29, those passing by were hurling abuse at him. He's on the cross. And wagging their heads and saying, ha, you who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, come down and save yourself. They laughed at him. And what the Lord, I feel like this afternoon, the message for me was, don't laugh at somebody else in their building process. Don't laugh at another believer in their stumbling in their building. Don't laugh at, be careful what you laugh at. You know what? Jesus said the same mercy we give out is the same kind of mercy we're going to receive when it comes our time to stumble. Galatians, I said 6:1 a while ago. That was the wrong verse, wasn't it? That was Galatians 5:1. Galatians 6:1 says that if anyone is caught in any trespass, those of you who are spiritual, watch out. You seek to restore them in the spirit of gentleness, but watch out for yourself lest you be tempted. So don't laugh. Be careful what you laugh at. Three things to be careful of. Be careful what you reject. Be careful what you build. Be careful what you laugh at. Now, a good pastor will close with the same verse that he started with. But since I'm Nathan, let's go to Acts chapter number 7, that where we didn't start. And I want to ask you the question that God asked that was quoted in a sermon preached by Stephen. We're talking about God's building blocks, and I want to close with this question because I want to ask you this question. I want you to hear this question. Acts chapter 7, verse 48. However, it says in verse 48, the Most High does not dwell in houses made by human hands. as the prophet said, verse 49, look at this carefully. Heaven is my throne, and earth is the footstool of my feet. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what place is there for my repose? I'm going to take this question out of context because I want to ask you this one question. What kind of house are you building for the Lord? You know, God's not limited, doesn't dwell in a house made with hands. We understand that. We are His temple. But we're still building that temple, this life. What kind of house are you building for the Lord? How's your building process going? Are you building according to His plan? Are His plans being followed? Or are you just kind of tossing a bunch of 2x4s out there and hoping they stick? What kind? Look at the question again in verse 49. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? I hope that question will linger. In no way condemnatory. That's not what I mean. I want you to hear that question as a hopeful question. What kind of house are you building for me? What kind of house are you building for God? That you can ask yourself and evaluate the process that God is using and the things that I've talked about tonight, the things we talked about last week, and the things that He's bringing to your understanding. What kind of house are you building for the Lord? I pray that it's gold, silver, and precious stones for His glory. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for all of Your instruction. Thank You so much for the building blocks in our lives. Thank You for the believers that You've brought to us who are a part of our lives, who have brought great meaning and great value to us, who have edified us, strengthened us when we've been weak, and we've spoken wholesome words when we needed to hear them. Thank You for our leaders, our pastors, those who have given us instruction over the years, who have imparted their lives, who have watched over us. Thank You for them. Help us, Lord, to carefully build. We want to build something spectacular for You. Not for our glory. Not to us, O Lord. Not to us. But to Your name be glory. In Jesus' name, amen.